All right, if you are new to Northside, you heard Bucky in the opening game. We are going through this 10-10-10 series, and this is our final week. We've been going through a verse a week, not because we are looking for something to fill Sunday morning from 11 to 12:15. We have other ideas, all right? It wasn't a filler space. It wasn't so that you would have 10 verses to wow your Facebook friends with, or to have on top of your Christmas letter, or to even encourage a new tattoo. But I was very shocked. Last week, because I was talking about the Lord's Supper and all that Jesus had talked to about that, one of you was inspired to get a new tattoo. I have a picture of it right here. That's Don Schmitz, all right? He wanted to get the Lord's Supper on his back. I mean, that's crazy what you'll do. I'm excited to see what he comes up with this week, all right? But back to this drawing. We're not studying these verses, right? We're not studying these verses to give us something to do or to yell at our neighbors, you know, like, hey, the Bible says be kind. We're not trying to do these things so we have some ammunition in our pockets. Our whole goal of these amazing verses, which are all part of God's word, is to grow in Christ likeness, is to look more like Christ, to act more like Christ, to think more like Christ, to worship more like Christ, to pray more like Christ. Remember my amazing drawing? There's me as a chucking baby, okay? And at some point in our lives, that the cross stands for, we make a decision. Whether you make a decision that Jesus is the way to heaven, whether you decide, hey, this isn't for me, we come to make a decision about our faith. This cross means that I came to a decision about Jesus when I was 8 years old. I knew that he was the only way to heaven, and I prayed to have him as my Lord and Savior. From that point on, whether you were 8 or 23 or 52 or whatever, the time from that point forward, our goal as believers is to become more like Christ. So these verses, as amazing as they are, and they're stuff to give us just hope throughout our day, they are meant to change, to transform our lives. D.L. Moody said, the scriptures were not given to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. And when we start becoming more and more like Christ, it changes everything, you guys. It changes our homes. It changes our workplace. It changes our attitudes, our character, our relationships. It changes how we deal with our past. It changes our perspective towards the future. It changes how we deal with our present. And it gives us an unbelievable hope for the future. Changing to be more like Christ gives glory to God, and that's our purpose here on earth. So last week, Jesus, you know, he gave some bad news to his followers, right? He washed their feet. One of you is going to deny me. One of you is going to leave me and betray me. And I'm going to eventually leave you because I'm going back to heaven to be with God the Father. And they were thrown for a loop, right? It kind of shook them up a little bit. But Jesus went on. He didn't just leave them there, say, hey, I'm the way to heaven. He also gave them some very, very encouraging news. And I have it for you today. John 14, same chapter we studied last week, 16 through 18. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus is saying, I know you're down the dumps. I know you're upset that this time that you can physically hug me and high-five me and eat with me and cry with me and pray with me is coming to an end. But that's not the end for my presence with you. I'm going to be giving you something so amazing called the Holy Spirit that is with you all the time. And I've said this to you before. This is a crazy concept that the God of the universe wants to live inside each one of us, that wants to be with us all the time. I can't stand being with myself for more than a few hours. And God wants to be with me all the time. That's bizarre. And that's loving. And it's kind of mysterious. And people outside the church may say, that's so weird. You have the Holy Spirit living in you? And we should confidently and not with shame say, yes, I have the living God living inside me because I claim Christ as my Savior. He is always with us. I know that you've heard the story about my mom, but I have to share it because it's the first time I actually witnessed a Holy Spirit coming upon someone's life and changing it so much. When I called my mom one day because the Holy Spirit inside me said, you need to call your mother. And I was like, I'm not prepped to call my mom. Because my mom's conversations, they weren't easy conversations. If some of you can relate to some dysfunctional family stuff, it's not always an easy conversation to call your mom. Avis, I don't mean you. I know you have a lot of your daughters here, all right? They love calling you. They love it, all right? But my mom, I had to psych myself up to call my mom, all right? So that day, I felt inside inside me, you got to call your mother. So I called my mom. My mom lives in New York. That's why I can say mother. So I called my mom. And that day on the phone, after, oh goodness, I was 20-some years of my mom saying she didn't believe in God or she hated God. She thought I was crazy for going off to Bible school and moving to Chicago and trying to do a career in the church. She accepted Jesus as her Savior on the phone with me that day. I never told my mom about the Holy Spirit. I didn't want to, you know, go ahead of where we were at, you know. But my mom said, as soon as she prayed the prayer to say, Jesus, you are the only way and I want you in my life, she said, I feel him. He is with me. It blew me away. I knew that. I read the scriptures. I know, and I had the Holy Spirit. But when I was 8, I don't remember that coming on me. But my mom said, he is with me. And then she freaked out. I don't want him to go. I don't want him to go. But he doesn't go. He sticks with us. But that was such a powerful example. On the phone, I could feel the Holy Spirit enter my mom. And Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you. If I'm going back up to heaven, my physical body, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit that stays with you. And that Holy Spirit comforts us. That Holy Spirit instructs us. That Holy Spirit warns us. You ever have that happen to you? Don't do that. That's not a good idea. Keep your mouth shut, you know. He directs us. He helps us with worship. And I love this. He advocates us when we don't have the words to pray. You ever been in that point where you're like, I am so down right now. I am so whatever. I don't have the words to pray. Well, the Holy Spirit takes care of that for us. I love that. So this week, I had every intention, my dear Northsiders, to preach you a stellar sermon, all right? I was like, I am motivated, I'm excited, I'm going on vacation next week, I'm going to preach you a stellar sermon. And everything kept coming up, everything. Every time I sat down to study, the phone would ring or an email would come. And it could be a small thing like a kid home from school sick or a meeting or a friend who needed some talk, but there was some really big things this week, really big things that I didn't realize were coming. And I questioned God. Didn't you want me to preach a stellar sermon this week? And then I started thinking, can I just throw in a VeggieTales? I mean, can they just watch that? I mean, I could do that as a children's pastor, but can I just throw in a video here? I don't know. I'm going to hopefully do that next time. And I said to God, your whole message today that I was very excited about is staying connected to me. And God said, you know what, Carrie? All you need to do is tell them, and maybe I'll just say this and sit down. All you need to do is tell them that apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. As you're so crazed worrying about getting your study in and getting the sermon done and getting everything done and getting a PowerPoint, do you realize that apart from me, you can do nothing? You can't go and help a Northsider out. You can't meet and pray with somebody unless you are connected to me. Because, Carrie, you, apart from me, you can do nothing. So that's our message today. Apart from God, we can do nothing. So these verses that we've been learning in these 10-10-10 series, they're fantastic verses. But guess what these verses talk about? They talk about courage and strength and all that stuff. Unless you are connected to Jesus Christ himself, those verses are just verses. But when you are connected to him, you do get the courage. You can be bold and courageous. You can do all things through Christ because you're connected to him. You can have renewing and regeneration and mount up like wings of eagles when you're connected to him. You can have healing. You can seek his face when you're connected to him. You can have joy and thanksgiving and contentment when you're connected to him. You can love your neighbor like a crazy person loves because even if they've hurt you and your enemies, when you are connected to Jesus, you can find the direction that God wants you to take. When you are connected to Jesus, you can experience salvation when you desire to be connected to Jesus. And you can experience the way, the truth, and the abundant life here on earth when you are connected to Jesus. You can have everything with him, or you can have nothing at all without him. You can have everything with him, or nothing at all without him. And Jesus says, he's talking to his disciples, he's like, you know, I see that you got this. I know that you know that I'm the way to God the Father. And you know that I know that I'm going up to heaven now because my job here is going to be done soon as I go to death on the cross and be resurrected. You know my time is done. But your job isn't done. There is an expectation for the believer. And some of you say, you know, I was here last week, Carrie, and you said that I can do nothing in salvation and it's all about God. It is. Salvation is all about Jesus and his death on the cross. But we have a job after that. And that's called sanctification. Our job is to become more like Christ. Think of the cutest married couple you know. Oh, there they are. All right, right. You may say that's not Corey. That's Corey with hair. All right, that's Corey with hair. And that's me with less other stuff. All right, so that's us. All right. Think of a married couple. How does a relationship work? If one of the spouse, if one of the people in the marriage doesn't want to be intimate, does not want to remain connected, does not want to be married to the other person, how does the marriage work out? Not so good, right? You can try your darndest to entice your spouse or your significant other to stay with you, to be connected with you emotionally, but it's impossible if they don't want to remain with you. That stinks, but it's the reality of a growing, vibrant relationship. It takes more than one person. And for a relationship to increase with intimacy, both sides have to be willing to put in the effort to stay connected. Well, God is always willing. God is always willing. He always desires to have this unbelievable connection with his kids. So guess what that means? The responsibility falls on us now. I mean, think about it. If you say something like this, I just don't feel close to God. I don't know if God really loves me or really cares for me. I don't think God really understands where I'm at right now. He just feels so distant from me. The responsibility lies with us, because he is that partner that always desires his communion with me, us, and his connection with us to be so powerful and so close. So if you feel distant from God, it's your doing, not his. If you feel like he's not there, it's because you've pulled away, not him. Jesus doesn't have favorites, not just him and Billy Graham. You know, he loves all of us. He desires all of us to be with him like that, to be in communion with him every moment. So this is what he's talking about today. John 15:1-5, I am the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do not bear fruit so they will produce even more. You've already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus, remember, he's talking to his disciples. He's just told them about the Holy Spirit. He is the next day going to be arrested, crucified, and he's going to eventually ascend back up to heaven. He uses this metaphor of a vine and branch to show you the union he desires with his followers. Why a vine? All right, I tried to think of a better illustration this week. I really did. Like, maybe this is kind of an old illustration. Maybe there's a contemporary one. I racked my brain. I couldn't think of anything that really fit better than this. So think about this. 2,000 years ago, Jesus is talking with the disciples and saying, our relationship should be like a vine and branches and fruit that come from it. It makes sense. And besides, grapes and vines and branches were all part of the Mediterranean world. All right, so this idea of being connected to this and having fruit grow from it totally made sense to believers back then, and it even makes sense to us right now. And if you want to wonder why he's doing this illustration, just to give you a greater fullness of the scriptures, because that gives us that aha moment, because he is so wise and so amazing, he can take all the scripture from the Old Testament and all his history with Israel and bring it to full circle to us now, where we just like go, wow, you had such a big picture, God, you're so amazing. Well, Israel was known as either the vine or the vineyard of God. That's what Israel was called. And so in the Old Testament, Judaism was the vine or the vineyard used to illustrate or symbolize Israel, God's people. There's even like a love song written about it. Here it is from Isaiah 5:1-2. Now I sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard, talking about Israel, God's people. My beloved had a vineyard on a rich and fertile hill. He plowed the land, cleared its stones, and planted it with the best vines. In the middle, he built a watchtower and carved a wine press in the nearby rocks. Then he waited for the harvest of sweet grapes, but the grapes that grew were bitter. It sounds like a country song, really, doesn't it? Like if Taylor Swift was dating Israel, this would be her song, right? This would totally be her song. It's like this love song. Now, Israel, God's vine, here's the problem. As we know, if you've read anything in the Old Testament, you know that Israel was always messing up, right? They'd follow God. Oh, my eyes are on you. We're so in love with you, God. And then, oh, what's going on over in that nation? Yeah, let's go. go worship that cow. Or oh, let's go over there. Let's go worship that fruit plant. You know, whatever it is. They were constantly eyes on God, eyes off God. Eyes on God, eyes off God. And what did their fruit produce? Bitter fruit. It wasn't a good taste to God. It wasn't a sweet essence to God. God didn't like what they were producing out of their lives because they were forgetting how they were connected to him. But now think about it. Think about it. Israel was called the vineyard, the vine, and now Jesus is called the vine. It used to be that salvation was through the nation of Israel. Remember God and Abraham, and I'll give you descendants? And that's how the people of God grew, through the nation of Israel. But now God's saying the people of God are going to grow through Jesus Christ. Do you see how it opens it up to the entire world? I'm not from the nation of Israel, but I have a chance to be a part of the family of God because of what Jesus did. So now Jesus is the vine. Jesus is God's vine. It's not a downplay on Judaism. It just is what the Messiah fulfilled when he came. That Jesus is the vine, and those who are followers of Jesus are the branches. We're the offshoots of Jesus Christ. And we as branches have a job to do. It's to remain in him. We as branches have to stay intimate with him. We have to get to know him better. Our job is to stay connected to him. And when we stay connected to Jesus, we naturally produce good fruit. Not bitter fruit, good fruit. Do you see it's different from this type of mind thinking? We may think, okay, in order to have God's approval, in order to be a Christian, I will volunteer at the senior center. I will give money to my church. I will be kind to my grandma. I will be honest on my taxes. I will not covet my neighbor's wife. I will forgive all people. I will do A, B, and C so that Jesus will find approval with me. That's not what it's saying here. We get that mixed up. Jesus is saying, if you stay connected to me, if I am your source of life, if you are so connected to me that I can't even start where the vine starts and where the branches starts because you and I are one, then fruit's going to come from it naturally. It's not do A, B, and C and God's going to approve you. It's stay connected to God and naturally fruit's going to come out of your life. The Greek word for remain is meno. And just in John chapter 15 alone, Jesus uses this word 11 times. Let's look at it. When you say remain, say it with me if you can see it, all right? If you can't, if you want to practice for the eye test, cover one eye. Here we go. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me
remain in
my love. When you obey my commandments, you
remain in
my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and
remain in
his love. If Jesus was at my house talking to my kids, you know what my son would have said? I know, you already told us. Remain, remain, remain. I'm just being honest, all right? I think Jesus is hitting the nail over and over again because he's like, if you don't get this, you're going to be lost. If you don't get the concept that the responsibility for yours and my relationship, the connectedness of us, remains on your end, you're going to miss out on something pretty fantastic from your life. He has a big point here. That's why he is being very, very repetitious. His first, so how? If this is a big point about remaining, how do we do it? How do we remain? Well, the first thing is salvation. I mean, you have to experience salvation. You have to experience the gift of Jesus' life through his death and say, that's the way to heaven and I want it. And that simply is just telling him that you want it and that you believe he died for you. 1 John 4:15 says, all who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them and they live in God. That's the first part of remaining. And here's the thing. You're going to come across a lot of people that fake remain. You know, they think they got it, or they treat church more like a cultural thing, or it's something to do on Sundays. And they're not really connected to the vine because they never really did trust Jesus Christ as Savior. And eventually, what's going to happen is you don't produce fruit, right? Because you're not connected to the vine. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So sometimes people seem like they're connected to the vine, and they kind of fade off. And the reason is they never really were connected to the vine. This happened back in that time too. 1 John 2:19 says those people left our churches, but they never really belonged with us. And it's not necessarily a Northside Community Church or a denominational thing. It's the faith. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong with us. So you can try your best to remain, but if you don't have the power and stay connected to the vine through salvation, then you're not going to be able to remain. It's just impossible to do it without Christ. So if your first step today is saying, I've thought about Christ, and I've contemplated church, and I thought it just kind of fit here in my life, but not my life, take that day and call on him. Say, I know you're God's son. I know you died for me, and I want my life to be connected to you. It's simple as that. That's all you have to do. All right, so but once you remain, once you have that salvation, our job then is to persevere in believing. We have to hold on. We have to continue to be connected to the vine. We have to continue to renew our belief that we're connected to the vine. And we've done this through the word. Oh, I'll get back to that in a second. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. It's through God's word that we've understood what it means to be connected to God the Father. Let me go to the next one. 1 John 2:24 says, you must remain faithful to what you've been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. You know, a lot of times in the beginning of our salvation, the beginning of our Christian walk, you know, there we are, there's the baby, all right? We get to that point where we accept Christ, and maybe we did it at camp, you did it at a retreat, maybe you did it at a kids club, I was at a kids club, or maybe it happened in church, and we get so excited at the beginning of this new relationship with Christ. We are pumped. Maybe we get the fish, we put it on our bumper of our car, you know, we have some Jesus t-shirts and necklaces and bracelets. We start to learn the guitar, because we want to go to a campfire and sing a Jesus song, right? We're very excited. We're so into our Bibles. We love our Bibles so much that we even have a Bible cover that says, I love my Bible so much, right? We want to read and we want to memorize scripture, and we just can't get enough of God. We just want him to fill us and fill us and fill us, and we can't imagine life without him. It's the beginning. It's the honeymoon stage of knowing Jesus. When I was 8 years old, is when I became a Christian. And all I knew is I wanted to be inside the church building anytime it was open. So yes, this is a true story. I would show up to the Retired Women's Summer Bible Study Program. I was 8. I think back that now, how many times they didn't mention what they really wanted to mention in a prayer request. You know, they're going to talk about menopause with an 8-year-old there. But I just kept coming. Because I knew when that church door was open, I wanted to be there, because there was something there that I so desired and wanted. But after a while, and maybe you've experienced this, start to get a little distracted with your faith. I'm going to call this the middle mile. All of a sudden, Sunday mornings are great, but you know, there's sports on Sundays, and I like to read the newspaper, and I could go out for coffee. It's a beautiful day. I could go for a walk. I could spend my time with God outside walking. He would like that, right? We start to get distracted. Like, I might not have to do that anymore. You know, do I really have to read the Bible every day? Just have it on the background. Have some Christian music on the background. That's okay. That'll make for my day. You've done it, right? Where all of a sudden, what was so important and what you couldn't get enough of is kind of fading. And you're now in the middle mile, where it's now not feeling as connected as you used to feel to him. You're not feeling so alive anymore. You're not so excited to put on your Sunday best and head to church, because there's things that are distracting you. It's in the middle mile that we can get distracted and we can get disconnected. In this image of the vine and branches, it teaches us the abundance of what a life can be that depends on and stays connected to Jesus. A healthy, abundant life comes from an intimate connection to God. And apart from that connection to Jesus, we can't do anything. Oh, sure, we can try to get through. We do that, right? We can try to get through without being connected to Christ. We can try to love, and we can try to forgive. We can try to be kind, and we can try to have great strength. We can attempt to make wise choices and be discerning. But it's like using a power lawnmower without putting gas in it, right? How are you really going to cut that lawn? It's like trying to take down a tree with a spoon, all right? How are you going to do it? You might be able to eventually do it if you worked hard at it and it was a tree like this big. You might be able to do it, but why? Why would we even try? Being connected to Christ, being connected to the vine, is the difference of time and ease and power and the joy and the life source of Jesus Christ living and staying connected to us. But the responsibility is on us. He is the one who wants it. We're the ones that take steps back. So we have to be purposeful. So how are we going to be purposeful? What tools can I give you right now that says, I want to stay connected to the vine. Give me something that I can do so that I am purposeful of staying connected to him. Because I know it's on my part. First thing you need to do is puppy guard. You ever play tag? Or you have a base? I don't even people know what puppy guards anymore. This is the first thing that came to mind. If you're playing base and somebody gets caught and they're trapped and they're in your fort and you're guarding the base, it's called puppy guarding. Because you're so close to them and they're yelling, McCary, get away, you're puppy guarding, you're too close to the base, no one can come rescue me. We got to puppy guard our relationship with Jesus. We have to be there where we're like, I don't care if people get mad at me, they got my Bible in my car. I don't care if people get mad at me, I sing praise songs. I don't care if people get mad at me because I want to go to church on Sunday. I am going to puppy guard my relationship with Jesus Christ. I am going to be that person that constantly wants to be with him, and I don't care if you're yelling at me to get off base. I'm going to puppy guard my relationship with Jesus. I'm going to do everything I can to know that I am the one responsible for my relationship with him, and I'm going to get my tushy there to church. I'm going to surround myself with other believers. I'm going to be in God's word. I'm going to be full of worship. I'm going to be praying. I'm going to be puppy guarding my Lord. It's the first thing you have to do. Oh, there is a puppy guard. Yeah. Second thing you do, you need to run from sin. Do you find yourself that if you know you are living in an active sin life, that you don't have a desire to come to God in prayer because you feel like a hypocrite? You don't have a desire to come to church because you feel like a hypocrite? If you are living in sin, it's going to stop your connection with Christ because he's a perfect God. There's forgiveness for it, and automatically he forgives you. But if you got an ongoing sin in your life, you need to run for him because you don't want to be puppy guarding when you have that sin. It's just who we are. It's kind of like you upset somebody and you know you hurt that friend. You kind of want to avoid him for a little while because you're ashamed. We let shame drive us. So just run from sin and get rid of it and confess it and be done with it so that you can stay connected to the vine. There's a great visual. All right. I don't know why I did that. All right. And you need to live like you can do nothing without Christ. Stop depending on yourself. This week, it's not that I was trying to actively depend on myself. I just forgot. Stop living like this world's around you and your strengths and all the things that you provide. It's nothing that we do. It's all that Christ does through us. So start living like there's nothing we can do without him. It's going to change everything you do when you think, I am doing this with him. It is not in my own power. And the last thing, oh, and then you're going to have cute fruits, all right? You're going to have some cute fruits. Like, here's the fruit of the Spirit, love. And who needs these things? These do not come from me. These come from Christ. Love, self-control, goodness, kindness, gentleness. Do I hear an amen there? All right, joy, patience, peace, faithfulness. These are the things that come from our lives when we're connected to the vine. Then the last thing is be okay with discipline. You know, Scripture tells us that he prunes the branches that do not bear fruit so they'll produce even more fruit. There it is. He cuts off every branch in mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches to bear fruit so they will produce even more. If you are a gardener, I'm not really a gardener, but I do get the concept that you got to cut back your flowers or cut back your bushes in order for them to grow better. What God is saying here, there's going to be some things you need to get rid of from your life. If you want that closeness with me, it's going to take some discipline, and you might not enjoy it. It might be some unhealthy relationships. It might be an unhealthy sin pattern. It might be so many hobbies and habits that you have that it's really distracted you from your connectedness with me. That's where the pruning comes. And you got to be okay with it because you know that good stuff comes when that happens. And some of the pruning, sometimes people think like, oh, okay, the pruning is something significant. Like, I'm not going to, I don't know, I can't even think of anything major right now, but I'm not going to do some big, horrible sin. And we think that's what the pruning is. Sometimes it's just neutral stuff. Sometimes it's just things that have our attention more than God has our attention. And God says, if you cut those out, that connection that you're going to feel to me is even going to be so more powerful, I can't even begin to tell you unless you let me do it. And don't complain about it when I do it. See it as a joy rather than a, oh, I got to get rid of another thing in my life. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So my question for you is, how are you doing? How are you doing? Are you puppy guarding? Are you staying as close to him as you can? Are you getting rid of the sin? Are you living like you can do nothing without Christ? And are you okay with the discipline? If you want to abide in Christ, if you want to be connected to him, if you want to remain in him, this is all he's really asking us to do. It's not a whole lot. But the fruit that comes from a life that's connected to Christ is unbelievable. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for being such a thoughtful God. Here you are leaving your disciples, and you say to them, hey, God's going to come live in each one of you through the Holy Spirit. And then you say, you just got this one last job to do, and everything's going to be okay from it. If you just choose to remain in me, if you stay connected to the vine through Jesus Christ, your life will produce so much good fruit. Thank you, God. I see this all the time. You thought of everything. We can fumble around with our heads cut off, not even knowing what to do, but you were like, I thought of everything for this relationship with you and me. And I am never going to be that spouse or that friend or that person that looks the other way or doesn't want to remain with you. I desire to have this connection with you. Thank you, God, that you are such an unconditional, loving God that desires to be with us, even when, Father, we're not close to you. I pray for all Northsiders here, Father, that we would be puppy guarding. I pray, God, that we would run from sin. I pray, God, that we would be very aware that we can do nothing without you. And, Father, I pray, too, that we would be willing to have some of those things cut back on us, God, so that when people really see us, they really see a Christ-likeness in us that is uncanny to who you are. We pray this in your name. Amen.